Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
You're very welcome back to Lunchtime Live. Anna Daly in for Andrea today, and it's time for summer memories. We chat to some well-known faces and personalities and reminisce about those long summer days. And today I am delighted to be joined by soprano Celine Byrne.
Hello.
I knew she'd break into song. We'll have lots more of that. I love the way you just do that without even being asked. How are you?
Great. It's great to see you. You look fab.
You
as
look
always.
All tanned and fabulous. Great to have you in.
No, it's great. I just wish that people could see how wonderful you look. You look fabulous. I can't believe that even though it's cold, you decided to wear your bikini today. What?
Oh, she's gas crack. Right. Summer memories.
Yeah.
Now, we know that you've travelled to all sorts of fancy places. I follow your Instagram. Uh-huh. I know you're, you know, tripping around the world and life is fantastic. But before you were an au pair in Italy at 18, what were the childhood summer holidays like?
Well, actually, I was talking to your researcher during the week and she was asking me, what are they? And actually, it seems to be centred about around one big memory. And for those who live in the country, it's the bog. The horrible bog.
Where specifically now?
Like foot and turf.
Oh, right. OK.
That's what I mean by
turning
the bog.
The turf.
You see, you're not. Where are you from?
I'm a city girl.
You see, that's it. So you don't know the pains that us country girls
Sorry,
went through.
Are you saying you would have went on holidays there?
The bog, foot and turf, cut and turf.
Wow.
Okay. I had no summer holidays because we were made work in the bog.
Wow. Okay.
So we went and luckily enough, like we're not living fado. So so basically the tractor goes there, cuts the peat and lines it up. So what you have to do with is a line of peat.
Yeah.
You get the line of peat and turn it over because it's drying on one side. Mm-hmm. When it's dried on one side, you have to go to the bog.
Yeah.
First trip.
Yeah.
Turn the turf. Second trip, you go and you pile the turf. So for those who can't see what I'm doing now, it's horizontal, vertical. So it's all packed up in about five or six rows. And then you wait till that dries. That's trip two. Trip three, you go back and you get that turf and you either throw it into the trailer or throw it into bags. Trip four, you have to go about three trips of that.
It's a process.
And then when you get home and you have to empty the trailer and everything. So my memories of summer is working in the bog.
Wow.
But I'm very sensitive. My skin's very sensitive to bites and stuff. So I used to be bitten alive by horse flies and stuff like that
in
the bog.
Wow, because you're out in the open all day.
So I was allowed just go for a little while. And my job was to make the sandwiches, make the tea, get the tea ready for the workers.
You got creative
so I actually
with
got
the itinerary.
I got the easy job. But when I think of health and safety.
No better girl to craft the itinerary to suit herself.
Health and safety, like we used to, this is terrible. Like we used to be sitting on top of the trailer full of turf, going over the bridges and stuff like that. Like, I mean, any of us could have fallen off the pile of turf in the trailer.
Oh, it's madness.
And
isn't it, when you think
my
back.
Brother was of a certain age that probably wasn't legal to drive a tractor.
And where was this specifically?
I don't want to say it now in case the guards were after
because
me.
The reason I'm asking is because I did a day in the life series and one of the days was turning the turf
there you go
in the bog
now.
In Leenane with a gorgeous farmer who, you know, later on we went for a pint in the local pub in Leenane and I was kind of thinking it's a very lonely job for him.
Right.
Do you know, it's a long day on his own.
Yeah.
You know, and the brothers had all gone off to work in different countries.
All the cousins were down there because all the aunties and uncles, we all had different plots on the same land. So we'd all get to them. We'd all help each other. We'd be working on the aunties. We'd be working. what English is that?
We'd
do
right
our
back.
Bog and then we do our aunties' bog and all. So that was holidays for us. And then as a treat, then we all got into the caravan and we were brought down to Tramore to go on the hurdy-gurdies.
Brilliant.
And that was it.
And do you look back, and I know we're laughing about it now, but do you look back with fondness, like the smells and the sounds?
I think, you know, when I look back on the innocence.
The innocence, okay.
The innocence of it all. Like, I know now with having three children who are all adults now, but, you know, the days of, like, we didn't have social media, we didn't have phones, there was no mobile phones back in the day. Now, I'm not 100. And it was just so innocent.
One.
Like even in the summers when we had the, you know, when we're off school, we used to play corners and we used to play rounders. And I had one particular cousin, her name is Melanie, I can name and shame her. And she'd get really tick playing rounders. And like she'd whack the ball and be like, come on, Melanie, because she'd put it too far, like it'd be over the hedge or into the neighbours or over the trees. And she used to throw the racket and go, right, that's it, and going home.
Oh, she'd pull a strop.
Yeah, there was a few of those.
Ah, yeah, like, we all had one
of those games. Like,
yeah, we did rounders a lot. You're right, on a big green all day long.
Loved it.
Home for your dinner, back
loved
out again.
It. Like I was lucky to get my kids out when they were younger.
Yeah.
You know, and bring them places. But I actually had to physically bring them somewhere to entertain them. Because
of course.
I used to say, go out and play, and they'd go, with what?
Yeah, with who or what?
I'm like,
exactly.
Hello.
Yeah. We made our own fun.
So those were the summers.
And were you singing all this time?
Loved it. I always did it. I always sang. Yeah, I was told to shut up many times.
Little did they know they'd pay to hear you in years to come.
But my what I loved during the summer from was we had a swing out the back, and I loved swinging, and I'd be on the swing, and I'd be loving it. And for my 18th birthday, I asked my mom and dad to buy me a swing, and they bought me, like, you know, the child swing, the metal swing with the yellow plastic seat and the blue rope. That's what I wanted for my 18th. That's what I got.
Did you see this in some musical theatre? Did you have a vision you were trying to recreate?
No, I just loved it. I just loved
sing on the swing.
I love being on the swing and just singing away.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you
now I love being on boats and yachts, you know?
Of course, she's changed her tune in recent years with all her travel and fancy experiences. So at 18, you went to work as an au pair in Italy.
I did.
And were you singing around the house and singing to the children?
I was, just to a point that actually
like the sound of music.
They asked me, did I want tickets to see an opera? And that's how it all started,
that's
actually.
Genuinely,
because I was singing. They were like, oh, Celine, have you ever been to an opera? And I was like, no. And they said, do you want to go? And I was like, okay. But like, I was like, okay, I'm not going to get, like, it's so far removed for me, this opera lark. It's going to be like, I'm not going to have a clue what's going on. And I went to the opera, and I'd only a little basic Italian because I'd only done a year of it before I went to work as an au pair. And I loved it. I fell in love with this art form that was...
Was this the defining moment in terms of your career, your passion?
I think it was, because I always wanted to sing. I always thought I'd be like in the West End. And incidentally, I met your lovely pals that were in there before me. And I know the publicist from the Bord Gáis, and I've been in the Bord Gáis since it opened in 2008. I've probably been the only artist who's been there every year.
Your Christmas show.
But I've done operas there.
Yeah,
and
of
I've
course.
Done musicals there. I played the Mother Abbess and the Sound of Music and everything. So I love the world of musical theatre. And then I moved into the world of opera because after that pinnacle moment of seeing an opera for the first time and thinking that's the art form I'd like to kind of get involved in, I came home and said, OK, where do I start? And got my voice trained professionally as a classical artist. And the rest is history.
And the rest is history, yeah. Mm-hmm. You've been playing for popes and presidents and all sorts ever since.
Did
you ever go to the Gaeltacht?
No, couldn't afford it. Well, my parents couldn't afford it.
Yeah, so it was quite the luxury.
I never went, no. But I did send my kids there and they loved it. They absolutely loved it.
It's a great thing to do. And I think it's much more popular now for children,
I think
13, 14 year olds.
Yeah, yeah.
Hugely
because
important.
Even with languages, like I speak a few languages, you do have to practice. Like I studied French for 10 years since I was in first year in Carriage Street College, and my German is better, and I never learnt it in the academic way. I learnt it just from working in Germany and picking up the language and using it every day, and my German got better. Now, during the pandemic, I extended that to try and learn the vocabulary the proper way, and during the pandemic, I did a course online with the Goethe Institute in Ireland. But the Gaeltacht's amazing because it is true practice that
you're a true artist using your downtime to upskill in another area. You know, that's a real actory thing to do, isn't it? You know, I'm going to learn to horse ride during my downtime between movies. It's that thinking, isn't it? Genuinely.
Yeah, but I just didn't want to sit on my laurels and say, what's the best thing that can enhance my art form while I can't actually physically do it?
Who is your favourite person to holiday with?
Oh, my best friend, Joy. I love her. She's so cool.
Ah, that's a lovely compliment.
Yeah. And
she's easy company, is she? Because that's important travelling.
Yeah, and I think the most important thing is I'm a morning person and so is she.
Okay, that works.
So that works. So we're up early and we're not one of these now that are fighting for the sunbeds. I'm not into that, like,
mm-hmm.
because then I'm not into lying around all day on my holidays.
You're action.
I want to do different things and I'm like, what do you want to do today? I don't mind. And we'll say, okay, well, we try this and blah, blah, blah. And she's just so cool. She's brilliant.
What is your favourite holiday destination that you've done with her?
We went to Turkey and that was cool. We loved it. We went on a boat trip, but we didn't just go to the beach. It wasn't just a typical kind of holiday around the pool. We went to different parts of Turkey. Like I hired a car and I drove like 2 hours in any particular direction and just kind of saw the landscape and experienced, you know, the Turkish culture by going out for like a big Turkish breakfast, but up in the mountains.
Yes.
You know,
scenic.
So I like that. Yeah.
Beautiful. Immersing yourself is what you do, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know that from following you as well. You know, you don't just go and do a show in a country. You'll get there a day before and walk around and explore and immerse yourself in it.
Definitely. That's definitely something I do. Yeah. I mean, I've been very, very, very lucky and blessed, thank God, for the work. Because I'm not complacent. The phone can stop ringing any time. That when I travel the world, because I'm so lucky that I get to do that, I like to kind of do a little bit of history about it. Like even in Amsterdam, I was there at the weekend and I'd been there before kind of passing through. And instead of like going on the open top bus and stuff like that, that every tourist will do, I went to the city archives and I wanted to take out the documentation about how the city established itself and all that. And even when I went to Russia, I went and got out the books on Pushkin and wanted to, I like to kind of know what's going on.
So you're not immersing yourself in the obvious tourist way.
No, because
kind of
everybody
deeper.
Can do that on Google. Mm. To be honest, when I was in China, the whole busload of the orchestra went to the Great Wall and they travelled 3 hours in the heat, stifling heat, to see the Great Wall of China. They got out, they walked on it a little bit and then they came back and they said it was a kind of like, this is terribly conceited of me to say that, but it was a waste of a day because they've just stuck in the heat.
Yeah.
I just stayed in the city and I went looking at the city and looking at the old parts of the city and it was far more interesting.
And you got much more from it.
And I said, I'll see the Great Wall of China again when I'm nearer to it and when I come back.
Where is the most extraordinary, let's say, country and venue that you've gone to for work or for pleasure?
Well, I'd say for work, I think they're the pinnacles of my career wise, like singing in Covent Garden and
gorgeous
and being in Germany and in the big houses. But the nicest place that I was in that I absolutely loved was in Croatia. I was singing in the Roman Forum with Jose Carreras and we were, it was a huge, big Roman Forum and it was out and we sang outdoors and it was fantastic because again, I just love the fact that we were steeped in history. Here we are singing in a Roman Forum and of course Croatia's been bombed heavily in World War One and World War Two. And when I was in Croatia, in Zadar, because it was bombed, they rebuilt the bay and they had a lovely walkway beside the beach and there's a sea organ there. So there's all the pipes of an organ and it's all embedded in the walls. And if you sit there, you can hear the pipes with the wind and the waves. It's just fantastic.
Wow.
It's lovely.
And you know, you're more likely to do things like that if you're on your own. Do you find that?
Yeah.
Do you know, you listen, you take time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
and
sometimes
I love working because I try to keep my weight down. So
get your steps in.
Like move your ass, Lean. And so when I'm in a city, I walk an hour north, south, east and west. So I'm not really looking at a map. I'm just walking to see what I can discover.
Wow.
I like that.
Yeah, I love it.
And of course, you
carve the time out
well.
For that, which is really important. Your top three items that you couldn't live without on a holiday.
On a holiday?
Be as honest as you like now. We love honesty.
Probably my iPad.
Yeah.
Because I like to gamble. No, because I like to download all my music in an app called Fourscore. And so all my music is on an iPad and I like to kind of just go through it, or if I'm doing a role, I like to just have it there because, like Osmosis, I feel like if I have it there, I'll know it better.
So it's the laptop to the
It's kind of bringing my work with
yes.
me, so that I can. I get nervous if I thought I had to learn something and I didn't have the resources to do so.
Okay, so they're the tools.
So that's that. And then of course sunscreen, and that's so important because
very sensible. Yeah,
because I'm in like a lot of heat, so I just have to protect my skin. And three, probably the travel guides to kind of see where's the interesting places to go or what's been undiscovered or places that people don't really go to.
Yeah, I love the fact that you're educating yourself and you're properly enjoying the sights and the sounds around you in every place you go to. Your summer song, tell us about that.
My summer song.
This is your choice.
Is Don't Stop. Don't Stop Believing. I love it. Right now, I was,
but not the standard version.
No, because
I did a twist on this.
I don't think I was even born when that was released in the 80s. Because you know, I'm so young.
Spring chicken, the cheese.
Glee, I love Glee. So I'm very corny. So, oh yeah, so I love Glee. So this came out as one of the songs from Glee, and I absolutely love it because it reminds me of the time when I, it was 2008 and I had just finished my master's. So I had finished all my education, my primary, secondary, my college days, my
freedom,
extra days, my master's. So I just had achieved all my education and I was like, yes, this is it.
Celine,
don't stop believing.
Byrne, it's been a pleasure. We could do double the amount of chat.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.